Psalm chapter 76, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, in Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. There break he the arrows of the bow, the shield, and the sword, and the battle. Selah. Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted are spoiled, they have slept their sleep, and none of the men of might have found their hands. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse are cast into a dead sleep. Thou, even thou, art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven, the earth feared and was still. When God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, Selah, verily the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Vow and pay unto the Lord your God, let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes, he is terrible to the kings of the earth. Father, thank you today for this portion of Scripture, for the joy of being able to study it, Lord, to read over it and over it and over it, to be able to hide portions of it in my heart, Lord, that I might not sin against you, to be both rebuked and caused to rejoice by just the reading of it, the studying of it. And Father, now I have on print here what I'd like to say, what I think you want me to say. And yet, Lord, I want to give you liberty to allow me to depart from what's written here. If there's something else that needs to be said, Father, I want this to be your message, controlled by you, dedicated to you for your honor, for your glory. And Lord, I pray that you'd meet the needs in the lives of everyone that's here, and those people that are watching, and those people who will watch via live stream. Help us today to glorify you, and we'll praise you, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's easy when you read the Scriptures as a preacher to come to the Bible, you come to a portion of Scripture, and you read it, and you say, boy, there's the message. And then you pass on, and you leave so much of it that is untouched. In Psalms chapter number 76, we have visited on two different occasions in this church the first three verses. And I preached a message entitled, Where Bows Are Broken and Battles Are Won. And I believe that's a very significant message. I believe it's very important that we understand that there are things that we can incorporate into our life that allows the Lord Jesus, who is our Savior, if He is our Savior, who allows Him to then battle for us, so that we don't have to battle for ourselves. Now, it's not our desire today to revisit those first three verses, but rather, having skimmed what I thought was the cream off the milk here, I find that when we shake up the rest of the chapter, there's some more cream that rises to the top. My mama was, of course, on a farm that I was raised on, and we had milk cows, and we milked the cows, and my mama would skim the cream off. She sold the cream. That was her grocery money. And somebody said something about, well, you're taking all the good off the milk. And my mom would always say, no. You let it sit for a little bit. You'll find out there's more good in there than you could ever skim off. And I believe that's what it is with the Word of God. And so today we want to skim off some other portions of the Scriptures and see if there's not something else here for us today to feed on, to rejoice in, to relax in, and maybe to be convicted by. And so today we want to look at the thought of the fear of the Lord. As we look in verse number 7, the Bible says, thou, even thou, art to be feared. The word art is not a word that we use often anymore unless we're talking about somebody painting something, carving something, casting something, making something as a form of art, and music as a form of art. But this word art means it's present tense. So he said that God is to be feared today. On the 20th of September in 2020, God is to be feared. thou art to be feared. And we need to understand, so it's present and it's purpose. There's a purpose behind God wanting us to fear Him. Now, when we say fear the Lord, so many people get the idea that we're supposed to put an umbrella of some sort over our head, a spiritual canopy, if you please, and march around hoping that God won't be able to get anything through there to harm us. That's not the kind of fear we're supposed to have as a child of God. The word fear here means to have a respect, knowing that if you get in a battle with the Lord, He's surely going to win. There's no way you're going to win fighting against the Lord. No way you're going to win fighting against the Holy Ghost of God. Can't happen. And so God says we are, thou art to be feared. Now, presently, you are to be feared. And it's a purpose. There's a purpose God has for that. And then if you go to verse number 11, we find that it's reinforced by God saying, let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. And so here God says simply, Brother Sutton, you ought to fear God. Miss Judy, you ought to fear God. And each one of you here today, you ought to fear God. And each one of you out there today, you ought to fear God. And so we want to look at that thought today. And we're going to look at a number of places. And we won't ask you to turn to most of those, but we want to refer to the Word of God. Listen, this is our hope. This is our repair manual. This is our owner's manual. This is the recipe. This is the prescription. This is the way to introduce us to Christ and to teach us how to love Him and serve Him, appreciate Him, be satisfied with Him, have peace in Him, know that we have an objective for Him. It's all right here. And that's why God says, study to show thyself approved, not unto men, not unto the preacher, not unto a deacon board, not unto a denominational system, but study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, how we need to be students of the Bible. Now, as I studied on this subject about fearing the Lord, there's some things that I came up with, and we've mentioned a couple of them already. God, thou art to be feared, and thou oughtest to be feared. And then here's another verse as we think about why we ought to fear Him. In 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 25, the Bible says, and so it was at the beginning in their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Here's God's people, and they got to a place where everything was so easy and everything was so redundant and everything was so, they were so powerful and so protected, and they thought it was in their own self, and so they began to get careless. I spoke to a man yesterday on the phone, and we talked about the leadership of God to bring a Baptist, our Baptist forefathers from Austria and the eastern part of Germany. When Catholicism took over and the archbishops were handing out demands to the Bible-believing peoples, and Baptists certainly were at the head of the list, and they said, you have three choices. You can convert to Catholicism, or you can leave with only what you're wearing, or you can die. That's your three choices. So many of them died. I've seen the torture instruments in secret places that they brought those people to, trying to make them deny the Lord that had purchased them. I've seen those things. I've witnessed those things myself. And so many of them died that way. But many of them took what they had on their back and left and went to a place called Holland. And Holland opened up their doors to the Baptists and said, you come in. You're good people. You're God-fearing people. God's blessings are upon you. You're a separated people. You're not a problem people. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And they got there and everything became to them. They were given extra things. They were treated like almost like royalty. And some of them who had sacrificed for their service for Jesus, they almost made kings and princesses out of them. And so they began to have a very luxurious life. And about on the third generation, you couldn't tell those people from the people that were there when they arrived. You couldn't tell those people from religious people anywhere else, people that were doing things, trying to get saved and everything. And so they would have fallen into this same category. The Bible said in the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Now listen to this. Therefore, the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. See, God doesn't always slay everybody all at the same time. God does that as a warning, hoping that other people, trusting that other people would repent and do what God wants them to do, so forth. But the Bible says simply that he slew some of them. And so we need to understand that sometimes lions come into our lives because we don't serve the Lord. We don't fear the Lord like we're supposed to. You know, a lion can be a terrible thing when he comes into your life. And the Bible says here that the Lord sent the lions. And maybe if you're fighting a lion today, maybe it's because God's wanting to give you something to fear. You won't fear him. He'll produce something that you can fear. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody in glory just said amen. Somebody here should have. Amen. All right, and then we have another verse here when we think about why we ought to fear him, or that we ought to fear him. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, getting right down to the end of the book, the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon, the wealthiest man that ever lived, Solomon, he writes all of these chapters and puts it all together. He says, the making of many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness to the flesh, and so forth. And then he puts it all down in one verse in chapter 12 and verse number 13. He says this, let us hear the conclusion. That's what people want to hear the preacher say. Now, in conclusion, he says, now let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. When we fear God, we ask him what he wants us to do. When we fear God, we seek his will. When we fear God, we walk in his will as best we can. And when we don't, we apologize to him, asking his forgiveness and asking him to put us back where we're supposed to be. Amen. Fearing God has great benefits. There's benefits. Somebody says, well, bless God, if I knew what God says, then I'll just be an old rickety old man someday. I'll never own a house, never have two nickels to rub together. I'll have to drive an old rust bucket of a car, and the muffler will fall off one day, and before I get that fixed, the brakes will go out. When I get that fixed, the lights will go out, and then I have to buy a new battery, and yada, 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 yada. Satan has lied to you. That's not true. Notice some benefits. And I only got about maybe a third of them. But here's some benefits that God's Word promises us for fearing him. The Bible says in Job 28:28, and unto man he said, behold the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Someone said, man, I'm going into a situation and I need to have wisdom. I'm going into a situation. I'm already in a situation. My world is turned upside down and I need wisdom. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Now, the Bible tells us if we lack wisdom, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, that's a problem that God has with us, because sometimes we're hesitant to confess to God that we don't know everything. Man, I know enough to know I don't know much about anything, and I don't know everything about anything. And we need to understand that God says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And one of the things that God requests of us or requires of us before he's going to hand out wisdom to us is that we fear him. And then in Psalms chapter 19 and verse number 9, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is clean. You know, we live in a filthy world today. I'm not talking about germs and viruses. I'm talking about morality and thinking and attitudes and actions and heart's desires. We live in a wicked, wicked world. And the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is clean. Well, I remember when we used to harvest on the farm, we'd harvest into a truck, we'd back the truck up to a granary, have a number 12 scoop shovel. Oh, thank God the day Daddy bought aluminum scoop shovels rather than the old metal ones. And we'd stand there and we'd scoop and we'd have to throw it. At that time, it was by about this much above my head. And we'd throw this number 12 scoop load of itch or wheat or oats or whatever and throw it in there. And boy, that stuff would come down across the top of you. And you knew right away why they were calling maize itch. And so you'd take off your shirt and then you itch worse. And then you start sweating and you'd itch worse. And then when you got it all unloaded and you drove the truck to the house, you hear Mama say, "Won't you boys just go ahead and go over to the lake and go swimming for a little while?" And the first time you dove in, oh, just to feel clean. That's what the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. That's what the fear of the Lord does for people. It's clean. It's clean. It causes us to come to the blood of Christ, the only element in all the world by which we can have forgiveness of sin. And it drives us to the blood. It drives us to the broken body. It drives us to the cross. It drives us to an empty tomb. And we ask God, because we fear Him, respect Him, want to honor Him and obey Him, we ask Him to forgive us. Oh, just clean. The fear of the Lord is clean. And then the Bible says in Psalms 34 and verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him and deliver them." The angel of the Lord campeth around about them that fear Him. Well, when I think of the angel of the Lord, and that's singular, by the way, I think of one battle where a bunch of the enemies of the Lord went to bed one night, and I think about 200,000 of them. And the angel of the Lord came through that camp that night, and the next morning some of them woke up, but 185,000 of them were dead. I want that angel protecting me. He encompasses around those that fear God, and He delivers them. Someone says, "Man, I need deliverance from this. This thing's coming at me 100 miles an hour. And, I just need some deliverance." Listen, the Bible says if you fear God, the angel of the Lord will take care of that. In Psalms 34 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him." I wonder today if you're sitting here and watching and you're saying, "Oh, I want. You fear God, He'll take care of your wants. Not just your needs. He wants to take care of your needs. But you see, as He adjusts our life, when we fear Him, He adjusts our life. And then we have proper wants and proper desires and proper hopes and proper dreams. And the Bible simply says, there is no want to them that fear Him. Psalms 111 and verse number 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Much like what Job had told us, that the fear of the Lord is wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 8, verse number 13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." I wonder if you hate evil today. If you don't hate what God hates, you don't fear the Lord. Now, God gives us a partial list here. He says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." Pride, arrogancy, the evil way, the froward mouth. Do I hate, God says. And so God gives us this litmus test that we can take to see if we really fear Him. If we fear Him, we hate what He hates. If we don't hate what He hates, we don't fear Him, and so we have not these benefits that He wants to give them. Listen, God is not a cosmic killjoy. God is not up in heaven saying, I hope he messes up today so I can get him. Now, I've thought that. I just hope they do that again but God doesn't do that. God is not a cosmic killjoy. God is not ready just to rain on your parade. That's not what God's about. God wants good things for you and good things for me. But He wants us to hate what He hates, and it starts with fearing the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." That's the third time we've heard about that. And then the Bible says in Proverbs 10 and verse number 27, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days." You want to live to a ripe old age? Fear God. Fear God. Now that's not a guarantee, because God may take you to glory early, but the Bible says here, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days." And then the next half of the verse says, "But the years of the wicked shall be shortened." I remember when my brother that just passed turned 75 years old, he called me on his birthday. Actually, I called him on his birthday. We were talking. He said, "Hey, today I'm 75 years old." I said, "Man, that's old. That's ancient. How did you miss the flood if you weren't with Noah on the ark?" He said, "You know, I'm second in line now to set a record. The record life expectancy for a male Sutton is about 53 years of age." He was 75 and celebrating. Two other uncles had lived above 70, and here's a thought for you. They both served the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. And one of them, I think, lived to be 78, and my brother was wanting to break that record. So probably when he got to heaven, Uncle Bud probably slapped him on the back and said, "Good try, buddy." But the Bible says here that the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 26 says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence." Do you have trouble being confident about anything? When you're confident, listen, here's some things God wants you to be confident about. Number one, God wants you to be confident that you're a sinner. Don't let Phil, Dr. Phil, or Oprah Winfrey, or any of these scatterbrains, don't let them talk you out of the fact God wants you convicted that you're a sinner. God wants you to have that kind of confidence. I am a sinner. And then secondly, God wants you to be confident that when Jesus went to the old rugged cross, He went there for you as much as He went there for King David or Abraham or Paul or Peter or James or John or somebody else. He wants you convinced that He went there for you, that He shed His blood for you. He wants you convinced that if you were the only sinner that ever lived, He still would have went to that old rugged cross. And then He wants you convinced that 72 hours after they put Him in that tomb and rolled the stone in front of it, that He came forth alive, victorious over sin, death, and the grave, and that He's able to save to the uttermost all them that come to God by Him. God wants you convinced of that. God wants you convinced of that. And then God wants you convinced that once you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you repent of your sin, you believe in Him, you receive Him into your heart. God wants you convinced that nothing in heaven, in earth, below the earth, nowhere in the universe is there anything that can separate between you and God. And listen, because He can't cast you away, He can't cast me away when we sin, He has to spank us if we're saved when we sin. He has to chasten us. And He wants us convinced of that. He wants us to be very convinced of that. And the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Do we have confidence in the Lord? We need to have a fear of Him. And the Bible says, "And His children shall have a place of refuge." I'm convinced. I have confidence that as a child of God, I have a place of refuge. And the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." The fear of the Lord has many benefits. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 23 says, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." I talk to people all the time. I have been in that place where I wasn't satisfied. Can you imagine that? On my way to heaven, to a home that Jesus has been working on now for 2,000 years, preparing for me, waiting for the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God and the sound come up hither, and not satisfied. Like a little kid that wanted a red balloon and got a blue one. That's about how important we as God's people not being satisfied is. And so the Bible says the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. And he that hath it, the fear of the Lord, shall abide satisfied. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you were satisfied? That's a good thing. What a gift. What a gift. Satisfied. And then Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord. Now listen, somebody says, if I get saved, if I live for Jesus, I'll never have anything. Well, what does the Bible say? Listen, you've been listening to the wrong people. You've been listening to the wrong book, reading the wrong books, watching the wrong television shows. This is what the Bible says. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You see, you don't have a life worth living until you fear the Lord. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse number 6 says, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. I one time purchased a metal detector. And I purchased it at great sacrifice, and not just to me, but to my family too. And I was going to find all these treasures. We parked our motor home at a rest stop, and I got my gear all together, got my headphones, and got my digging equipment and everything. Was getting ready to step out of the motor home, and I did that, and I'm out there looking, didn't find anything. We got ready to leave, and got back in the car or the motor home, and my second daughter, Wendy, says, hey, Dad, look what I found. She said, I found these two quarters right there. You stepped over the top of them when you went out there to look with your metal detector. True story. Fact is, if you'd ask her now, she'd still laugh about it. And I'd get angry that time, too. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Listen, God has all kinds of treasures for his people, and one of them is the fear of the Lord. And we step across the top of it. We're out here looking and looking. I started to say suchen, but that's German. We're out here looking. We're wanting to hear that beep, 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 beep. And sometimes you hear, my brother and I took it one time, went hunting. We just knew we found a treasure. Beep, 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 beep. We dug a hole 3 feet down and 6 by 6 and found the top of a car. Not much of a treasure. But the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is his treasure. It's his treasure. There are benefits to having the fear of the Lord. And then there are evidences of us not fearing the Lord. This is what the psalmist says. The psalmist in chapter 36 and verse 1 says, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before their eyes. When I look at Washington, D.C., and some of the Tommy Rot that's coming out of there, some of the nonsense, does not this book talk about a time when good will be called evil and evil will be called good? Wake up, America. That time has arrived. And they call good evil and evil good. And the Bible is very plain. It says that it saith within my heart. In my heart, I look at that and I say, their problem is that they don't fear God. They don't fear God. And listen, there's so many areas. Put a family in jail because they drove 4 of them in a car, got into a boat, and went out in a big lake having a good time, half a mile from anybody, throw them in jail for violating some rule, and let people out of the jail systems that have been found guilty, charged, put in jail, and let them out so they won't get COVID. My heart says there is no fear of God before their eyes. Defund the police. Now, they ought to fire some policemen. There's no doubt some police officers ought to go to jail. No doubt. But what are they going to do when they hit, somebody's breaking into their house and they dial 911 and it says, sorry, that number has been temporarily disconnected due to lack of payment. You see, the Bible says that there's no fear of God before their eyes. Somebody says, well, Brother Sutton, that's Old Testament. Well, here, let me show you some other signs that people don't fear the Lord. Listen, the Bible says there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. You know, a sepulcher, if you were to go to a sepulcher and roll the stone away. You remember when Jesus in John chapter 11 goes to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' home, and he knew that Lazarus had died. He told his disciples, at first he said, he's sick. And they said, well, let's go help him get well. And finally he says, listen, Lazarus is dead. First he said he's sick, then he said he's sleeping, then he said he's dead. And so they get there, and they're getting ready to, Jesus is going to have them roll the stone away so he can perform the miracle. And his sister said, but Lord, he stinketh. Now, I don't know if she was talking about after he died or before he died. I guess probably depending on if he was a little sister or a big sister. If she was a little sister or a big sister. But anyway, the Bible says that the throat of people that don't fear God is an open sepulcher. Every time they open their mouth, it's filth that comes out of it. I still believe there's some words. I don't believe in violating the Constitution of the United States, but I don't believe that the founders of the Constitution of the United States thought that you ought to be able to talk in any vile terms you wanted to, regardless of who was listening or who had to hear what you said. I don't believe that. Their throat is an open sepulcher. People talk ugly to their spouse, ugly to their kids, ugly to their parents, ugly to their neighbors. What a shame. No fear of God before their eyes. And then the Bible says, with their tongues, they've used deceit. It doesn't say that they're lying, just said they're being deceitful. And their tongues substantiated that. The poison of asps is under their lips. That's much like an open sepulcher. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. I went to school at great cost to my county where I was raised, and I learned that you don't have to curse to express yourself. My mama used to say it's little people that express themselves by cussing. Little people. The Bible says that their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Oh, that's all right. Go get an abortion. That's okay. No, I'm not going to talk to you about supporting that child. Just go get an abortion. Go do away with it. Many places the Bible talks about shedding innocent blood. That's covered in that. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. Listen to this now. And the way of peace they have not known. If you don't have the fear of the Lord, you're never going to have the peace that God wants you to have. Paul talks about peace, the peace that passes all understanding. You know, it must be a wonderful, wonderful peace. So wonderful, you can't understand it. Beyond your ability to describe it to someone. You just know that when you have the peace that passes all understanding, things go better. You're better in every position that you feel on earth. When I have the peace that passes understanding, all understanding, I'm a better daddy, a better husband, a better papa, a better great pawpaw. Oh, I like that. I am a great pawpaw. And I want to be a great preacher too. The Bible says I can be those things when I have the peace that passes all understanding. But the Bible says for one who doesn't fear the Lord, the way of peace they've not known. And then listen how that portion of Scripture closes. It says there is no fear of God before their eyes. You see, the fear of God just takes care of a whole lot of things. And there's evidences in people's lives. People get away from the Lord. People start acting more like jackals than they do like people. They start acting more like lost people than saved people. The Spirit of God speaks to their heart and speaks to their heart and speaks to their heart. And they cover it up and cover it up and clamor over it and won't listen to the Holy Spirit of God. And every time he tries to speak, my son one time, he called and he said, "Dad, I've got this funny noise in the engine of my car." He was going to Bible college. And I said, "Well, what's it sound like?" And he tried to describe it. I said, "Well, what have you done so far?" He says, "Well, I notice when I turn up the radio, the noise goes away." And a lot of people today, when the Holy Spirit of God is knocking on their door, rather than saying, "Who's there? Come in. I'm ready to listen," they just turn up the radio. They work harder, work faster, work more, because they don't want to hear what God has to say. Oh, God, help us that that not be so. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, we see evidences of people that don't fear the Lord, even in our own lives at times. So we ask the question, how? How can I fear the Lord? Number one, you need to want to. You need to want to. You see, the world, the flesh, and the devil have been busy trying to tell you, you don't have to fear God. You can do it without God. You can do it on your own. You can do it on your own. I knew a lady one time she was a manager of a Saturn sales place, and they kept telling her, "You don't need that. You don't need that. You don't need that." Her and her husband were active members in a fundamental Baptist church, and she wanted off on certain times and everything. They tried everything in the world to confuse her. Finally, they took her to a training site, and they had this disc that was 18 inches in diameter, and it was mounted to a hydraulic hoist. And they're trying to teach her to have confidence in herself, not in some invisible God, as they called him. And so they had her step on this plate, they strapped her feet in, they hit a button, and that thing ran her up on an extension pole 60 feet in the air. Said, "See there, see there, see there? You don't need God. You're taking care of that all by yourself." The world, the flesh, and the devil don't want you to need God. But let me tell you what. If you die without Jesus, you won't be dead 5 seconds and you'll know how much you needed Him. Yeah. And a child of God, if you die, when you die, if you haven't lived for Him, when we stand before Him and we still see those gaping, bleeding wounds, the songs all talk about the scars in Jesus' body when we see Him. You're not going to see any scars. You're going to see wounds in His hands, still bleeding. Wound in His side, still bleeding. And we're going to say, "Oh my goodness, why? 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 Didn't I do what I was supposed to do?" And so if you want to fear the Lord, you've got to want to. You've got to want to. The Bible says that, teaches us, if we look at the benefit and we see that God will form a desire for us to have this. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 29 says, "For that they hated knowledge," listen, "and did not choose the fear of the Lord." So you have to make a choice. You can believe the philosophies of this world, which I guarantee will leave you bankrupt and hurting, or you can choose the fear of the Lord. The choice is yours. And then the Bible says that we need to listen And we need to learn. In Psalms 34 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Come, ye children, hearken." The word hearken means to listen. Hark, the herald angels sing. Listen! The herald angels are singing. Hark, listen. So it says, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." To gain the fear of the Lord, number one, is probably going to take some time. And so we need to quit quitting. Christians the only person I know in history that had a better reputation for quitting things, a longer reputation for quitting things, before I was saved, it would be me. The year I got saved in December, I think I had 9 different jobs and was looking for another one when I got saved. Quitting, 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 quitting. It's a difficult habit to break. Quitting. And so it's going to take time. And so we need to quit quitting. And then we need to pay attention to what God's saying. We give too much attention to too many things that are not important at all. Miss Judy and I were drinking our coffee this morning and having our time together as we pray together. And I picked up my phone for some reason, and it was a legitimate reason. And then you just migrate from there. And then you see something else, and you migrate from there. And we spend a lot of time with things that are not important now and will be even less important down the road from now. Read and ask the Lord to enlighten you. Read and ask the Lord to instruct you. And when I say read, I'm talking about reading this book. If you read one chapter in the book of Proverbs per day, you'll read through the book of Proverbs 12 times in a year. If you read 5 chapters in the book of Psalms per day, you'll read through the book of Psalms 12 times in a year. This morning, I'm reading in the book of Isaiah as I'm on the schedule reading through with some of the rest of you. What a wonderful book Isaiah is. What a wonderful book this is. Wonderful portion. As I've read the book, this is something I found. Every individual, every family, every nation in this book that did not fear God, that did not develop a fear of the Lord, ended up hurting massively because of that. And so I ask you this morning, if you're not fearing the Lord, is what you're getting worth the swap? Oh, I'm a swapper. I'm a trader. I love to buy junk and sell antiques. I'm a swapper. But I have made some bad deals. And let me tell you what, when you trade something for the fear of God, you've made a bad deal. When God says, "Hearken unto me, listen unto me, I'll teach you how to fear the Lord," and you argue about that, you're like one of these families, individuals, or nations that feared God, and I promise you, there's a world of hurt down the road for you. Promise. I know that from the book. I know that from experience that I have viewed. I know that from experience in my own life. Fearing the Lord has great benefits. Not fearing the Lord charges terrible dividends. Terrible, terrible. You see, God has a lot invested in the world. He didn't send one of His 10 sons. He sent His only begotten Son. He watched Him grow up, be insulted, injured, humiliated, embarrassed, harassed. He watched Him go to the old rugged cross, accused of being the illegitimate son of Mary. Be hung on a cross, nailed to the cross, bleed out every drop of His blood. If you've trusted Him, He has a great investment in you. And He wants you to fear Him so He can open up the windows of heaven and show you the great things He has in store for you if you just walk in fellowship with Him. If you're not saved, He has eternal life waiting for you. But you see, there's not two or three different ways of getting saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So where are you today spiritually? Oh, I didn't ask you how big of a check you could write. I didn't ask you how much this you can do or that you can do. How are you spiritually today, really? Where does the fear of the Lord fit into your menu and your daily regimen? Let's bow our heads, please.